My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The set by Holmes and the payoff pitch swung on and a deep drive to left. That ball is way, way back. That ball is history. A walk-off slam for Wyatt Langford. How about that? The Rangers stream out of the dugout and await the arrival of the rookie who has hit both Ranger Grand Slams this year. Unbelievable.
Final hour fist pump time on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt Hump Day Edition. We got more rain, baby. We got more rain. I like it.
Last day, though.
Well, that's fine.
That's what it says. But we need it. We needed the rain.
Needed it.
All my plants in the backyard, my marigolds.
Man, you want a tree to die? Send it to me. I'll kill a tree faster than anybody.
Yeah.
I almost think that my landscaping guy just gave me some dead ones. It's ugly out there.
You've seen the meme before, right? That they say the surest sign that you've become an old man is when it rains, you say, boy, we needed this. But yep. We needed the rain. That's where you're at, man.
12-year-old me would never have said this.
Yeah, if you had any trees, you'd say it too.
Yeah, if you had a water bill.
I have an entire landscape and everything. It's beautiful.
I had to write the city yesterday because my water bill.
Too high.
I noticed, by the way, you pressured these two into saying what their number started with, and then you didn't say your own.
Well, I didn't get it till yesterday.
What's the number? Or what does it start with?
A 5.
Oh! No, it doesn't. Oh, there's a leak. You got a leak.
$50?
$5.98.
$5.90. How many times a week do you water?
Well, it's also the refill of the pool. The evaporation of the water.
Yeah.
So like 30 minutes here and there.
You have an autofill?
Yeah.
How much do you think the little rain shower costs you?
A $600 water bill. I had to write the city back.
Seems high.
Seems
high. Like you.
Did you have water evaporate in your pool to like refill it?
It evaporates all the time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens.
That's what water does.
It does. Nice. Like. When we got back,
I'm talking to fellow pool owner here.
It's got.
Sorry, I was going to give you my homeschool intelligence.
It's got an autofill thing. It's got an autofill.
Stay in your pantry over there.
it has the autofill, so it does it every day. It should never be that high though. Like I know you got a lot of land, I know you got a lot of, but I don't know.
A lot of land, a lot of ceiling. There's just a lot at the Sean Mahal.
You know what it is? It's also that stupid damn kid's water slide. Keeping that thing on for like pool parties, like for 5 or 6 hours.
That'll do it. Also, there's a way. If it is a legitimate water bill and it's not a mistake, I would just program your backyard zones, the far back ones, like once a week instead of three times a week.
972 says, you have a leak, bro.
Yeah.
They're convinced you have a leak if it's that
probably
high.
Probably do.
972, that's too high.
I'd be surprised if you could rack up a $600 water bill without a leak.
See? Not so bad being in an apartment, is it?
Well, ask your family who wants to sleep over my house all the time.
Oh, yeah. Sean, I just hear Sean cackling from upstairs when I was walking downstairs at his house the other day. I was like, what was that about? And apparently he was like making a mocking joke. He's like, your dad's rich. And then Addison looked over and went, we live in an apartment.
The little girl says that. And they start chanting, let us stay. Let us stay.
Holly got it going.
They wanted to sleep over. All right, Wyatt Langford last night, the seventh youngest player in history with a walk-off grand slam and the youngest player in American League history with a walk-off granny. You want him up in these moments throughout baseball this year because Nick Castellanos has the most walk-off hits with 4, and Wyatt Langford now holds the second spot with 3 as the Rangers come back and beat the Yankees 7-4 with the epic walk-off, and you walked out and missed it.
Yeah, we left in the eighth inning. My oldest was sick, so he didn't go to the game. My youngest went, and he's like, he had to get up for school. So after the eighth inning, he wanted to leave like earlier. I was like, no, we're staying.
Your eldest had to get up for school too, right?
That's a problem. we're dealing with that as well. But yeah, so he's like, I gotta get up for school. I was like, all right, bud, we'll go. Which I hate. We never leave games early. We literally never leave games early. And the one time we leave the game early, it is just an incredible finish.
So yesterday we had the conversation. Well, we didn't. Sorry. G-Bag and Jared Sandler had the conversation over Jack.
Screw you, Jared. Goodbye.
Jack Leiter.
Conversation. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. Maybe we'll relive that at 9:40. Hagelin, are you reacting to that? Okay. He's listening. He just made a face. And I was like, all right, they got the show on in the prep room over there. Maybe we'll replay that at 9:40 and have some fun. Where are we now with Langford's rookie year? Sandler, don't call in if you disagree.
Okay. My expectations for his rookie year, admittedly, I was like, this guy's the next Mike Trout. I need to see a
After you lectured all of us for the hype and you got mad at everyone.
I did. But I was like, this guy is the, I need a 943 OPS.
Which you said that's what they show at the games now instead of batting average?
Yeah, and I did not realize.
Shocking.
This was, like I said, this was like my fourth or fifth game this year that I've been to, and I never remember seeing this year on the scoreboard, next to the player's name on the lineup, just on the lineup that they show OPS. I don't remember seeing that before. I saw it last night. I was like, whoa, that shows you where we are in Major League Baseball.
So here are the numbers just before you give your opinion on the Franco injury attorney text line on Wyatt Langford's rookie year. 243 average. Before you like scoff at that, remember it's today's baseball.
Yeah.
So that's tied for 97th in the sport. 10 home runs. 60 runs batted in. The OPS is 695. He has 12 stolen bases.
695 OPS is really difficult to say. That's a good season. It's not a good number. For a rookie, I mean, look, it's obviously what you're looking for is the flash. And you could see, can you see it? Can you see what they saw? And you can in certain parts.
Let me say this. If Wyatt Langford's rookie year was a 253 batting average, his OPS was 744, he hit 18 home runs, had 100 RBIs, 33 doubles, 6 triples. Like, is that a year you're happy with as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a rookie,
That's his 162 game pace since he returned from injury in May. So since he came back from, because that first month of the season was brutal. And he came back from injury in late May, and he's been a decent major league hitter. I mean, a 744 OPS, is it optimal? No, but as a rookie, first year, yeah. And like I said, his pace is, if you extrapolate that 79-game stretch over 162 games, that's 100 RBIs, it's 18 home runs, it's 33 doubles. That's acceptable to me.
Yeah, look, is it Barry Bonds' rookie year? I mean, you know, maybe not. Although, Barry Bonds' rookie year? Actually, it is kind of Barry. It was a 746 OPS.
Oh, okay.
In Bonds' rookie year. Yeah. And his average was 223 in 113 games. Finished sixth in rookie of the year. You know, it's fine. It's not. Is it expectations? No, but I think our expectations were higher than they needed to be.
Where are you at with it?
I think he's, since he returned, like I said, I think you got to break it down into what has he been since he came back from injury, because it's a different player to me than what he was early in the year. So, has he been below expectations? Yeah, but I think we've seen enough that makes me say next year he's going to be a really good hitter, I think. I don't know that he'll be an all-star, but I think he's going to be I would be disappointed if he's under an 800 OPS next year.
C plus on the season or B minus?
I'll give him B minus.
B minus. B minus. His speed really jumps out at you too.
Yes.
It really
I didn't
does.
Even have that portion on there. He would have at this rate since he came back from injury, he would have 25 steals in a season too.
And I'm not even worried about the steals necessarily. His ability to go first to third on just about anything to the outfield that isn't, you know, to left field. His ability and his willingness to take the extra base and be aggressive on the base paths. I think it's like, you could see the five tools.
All right. As everyone is texting me, water bill advice. Really depressing here to kick off the final hour.
And by the way, a lot of people are asking OPS. OPS is on-base plus slugging percentage. It's just you just add the on-base percentage and the slugging percentage, and it's the OPS. And they value that probably more than they value any singular stat in the baseball circle.
So not only did we get the walk-off grand slam from the rookie, apparently we're getting a perfect game as well.
Yeah, how about that? So DeGrom is obviously, they're tinkering with the idea of bringing him back and, you know, pitching him this week, next week, whatever. Well, they were doing some predictions, MLB September predictions on ESPN. And one of the predictions was about Jake DeGrom. And this was just a throw-in. It was like they asked all their analysts, hey, throw one bold prediction our way. And the bold prediction here from one analyst is Jake DeGrom makes his season debut on September 12th. That's Seattle. So that's next week. He throws six perfect innings. And then Lats, Robertson, and Yates finish off the first official combined shared perfect game of the season or Major League history. I should say, Major League hit. There's been combined no-hitters, but never a combined perfect game. And that was just a little funny, little, hey, bold prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, you want to talk about getting us set for next year with that? Woo.
I don't know how you are able to convince him to come out of a, I don't know how you'd ever be able to convince a pitcher to come out of a perfect game, no matter like what the pitch count was. Also, if you're in a perfect game, that means you're not walking guys. You're probably not really high on the pitch count. I do remember the Rangers in 2010. In 2010, Rich Harden had a combined perfect or no hitter all the way up through like the ninth inning. And Rich Harden had to come out of this game because in five innings, he had thrown 120 pitches.
Yeah, so you got to come out of that one. There's no way you can. You're not going to.
Five walks and six strikeouts.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
All right, we got some leftover in the college keg.
All right, so I don't know if you saw this. They need to continue to do this at Northwestern. Northwestern is, you know, basically renovating their stadium. They got to stop. They did a makeshift stadium that they're going to use this year. It's right on the Lake Michigan. It is awesome. Take a look at this thing. That looks so cool. Northwestern has nothing going for it. Nothing going for it. All these stands are in the end zone. They got a little bit on the sideline. It just looks very, very cool. Do this instead of doing that stupid, crappy stadium that you normally are going to go back to. I don't want to see that anymore. We have to find this coward. And I do mean coward.
Very Chris Russo-esque.
Yes. This is the guy whose Twitter handle is at 321Null. And on August the 27th at 11:42 a.m., he tweeted, if Florida State loses to Boston College this weekend, I will eat dog poop out of a red Solo cup with a spoon and post a video of me doing it. Book it.
Wow.
Well, this coward has deleted his account.
Human fecal matter.
He writes a tweet. I'll catch y'all next season. My time on X is done. Good luck to everyone. And he is gonzo. So he tucked his tail and he ran.
Gotta find him.
Why can't you just, like, if you're posting a video of it, you can find something that looks like it and you get even more clout, I would think. It doesn't have to actually be it. And you're talking about, I do wonder all the time whenever somebody does one of these, retweet this. Here's my lotto ticket. And if I win, I'm going to share the winnings with you. I've wondered before, if they did win and refused to, could you like legally do something about that? Like the guy said that he would share it if I retweeted it, and he didn't.
It's in writing.
So ML Football tweeted this about a Cowboy fan. Jordan Garnett, we follow each other on social media.
Not as good as Dirk.
This fan says he will eat human ass of anyone's choosing if the Cowboys do not win the Super Bowl this year. The fan got a Cowboys Super Bowl 51 tattoo on his arm after the team did not make the Super Bowl as he guaranteed. And I'm like, that looks like a fake picture. that doesn't look like a real tattoo. And when you go to the guy's name on Twitter, it says the best comedian alive.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, dogs do it. Can't be that bad, right? They eat their own.
You used to eat dog food. I've seen a video of people doing it.
Eating, yeah, I have too.
A couple girls.
Yeah, but you know, dogs, if dogs can eat it, it's probably safe for us, right? Safe consumption. You're not going to die. Be disgusting. It might smell bad.
So you want a show bet to
absolutely
do it?
Not.
I mean, dogs
absolutely
get worms. Like,
not.
I wouldn't, yeah, I wouldn't compare us to them. Peyton would.
Real quick, Stephen F. Austin, shout out. They were beating this college called North American. They were beating an entire continent. They beat an entire continent. They were up 70-0 at halftime, and they decided to play 5-minute quarters in the second half. And they wind up with...
wind you can just do that. You can just be like, let's change the rule of how long quarters
they basically
are.
Like, hey, guys, running clock, 5-minute quarters, let's go, let's get out of here. And they beat North American 77-0.
Let's preview the Browns with Cowboys insider Nick Eatman and ask him what he thinks of Meat Church as an NFL insider after he said the Dak deal was really, really close. Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, joining us every hump day. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Did you enjoy the last weekend off before it all gets started?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was nice. I didn't do anything. I've been counting my steps, you know, at training camp, and like I do a lot of walking at camp, but it definitely went down dramatically this weekend, which was good though. I didn't feel guilty about it because I'm like, I'm about to go all over the place. So, speaking of walking, though, how about the walk off home run last night? I was at the game last night. It was awesome. Well,
did you leave early like RJ Choppy?
No, I did not. Even though my 9-year-old was like about the fifth inning, he was asking about halftime, and I was like, nah, you know, we hung in there. And it was awesome.
I was gonna say, was that the because I saw the Instagram photo? You had the three generations of Eatmans at the ballpark yesterday. Was that the final send off before football takes over your life?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, it didn't really like plan it that way, but the way it's kind of worked out, yeah. Anytime you go dad, brother, son to the game, the Yankees. I mean, all of that was great before the game even started, and then to end it like that, and you know how it is with games like that. There's a ton of Yankee fans there, and it's a good atmosphere.
Ton. It was like 75%.
Yeah, it was loud. It was definitely, it felt like one of those Cowboy games when you're like playing like, you know, I don't know, in Charlotte or something like that, where it's like you can't tell.
Do you have the same level of excitement heading into this weekend as normal, or is it a little bit down like mine is in so much of the Metroplex?
No, I mean, and I don't know how yours is or whatever, but for me, it's as high as ever. I mean, when you think about that feeling of, and I think it's the worst loss that I've ever experienced by working for the Cowboys. It was the last one because it was a blowout loss against a team you thought that the Cowboys might blow out, and they were never in the game really. And it was just, it was, you know, you've had tough losses before. Dez caught it and all these other, Romo dropped a snap, but those were just really tight games. This was a blowout loss. So all of that, you know, and all the offseason and the draft and training camp to get to this point, I'm as excited as ever to see. There's so many things about it. There's three rookies starting at holy crap positions, you know, like corner, left tackle, and center. I know the Cowboys have four rookies on their depth chart. Leah Fowles, I guess, considered a starter, but I don't know how they'll rotate that. But you know these other three are starting, and I don't know. I mean, I'm as excited as ever about it. I think it's going to be a great matchup and just a great test. Finally get to see what football's like.
Nick, power rank your concerns heading into this game among these three. Tyler Guyton across from Myles Garrett. Kalen Carson going up against whichever of the three receivers the Browns want to stick on him, or Cooper Beebe snapping the ball in shotgun.
I love that because I was prepared for this because we have a mailbag question yesterday about which one worries you the most. And I said, a mailbag on our website, and I said that Cooper Beebe worries me the most of the three. Not that I don't have, you know, confidence in him. I think he's going to be fine, but just all of the things that he has to do, you know, just the pre-snap and then the calls and then the snap and then blocking the guys up the front, up the middle and all that. Like, this is a position he's never played in a meaningful game. He's played it a little bit, in the two preseason games, but he never played center at Kansas State. So this to me, I just think it's one of the biggest challenges now. To be flanked by two all-pro guards, yeah, that's nice. They're all going to get help in their own way, but that one probably worries me the most. But then it might be a 1A, 1B, 1C type thing because it's not like all three of them aren't going to have their struggles.
That makes it even all the more curious that they just didn't even bother playing him in the final preseason game, that it was that much of a, hey, he's the starter. Because, like, if that's your biggest concern, that would not lead me to believe that should have been a decision that was a no-doubter 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what else that he was going to prove. I mean, yeah, you're right. He could have gotten more snaps in that last game. But I think that that was one of the biggest jumps I've ever seen. It was like a, you know, he just catapulted over Brock Hoffman when after week one of preseason, it looked like there really wasn't a competition anymore. And then next thing you know, he's getting first team reps and then he takes the job. So that just tells you how long training camp is, maybe too long, you know, like for the guy to go that long and then all of a sudden pass him over. But the credit to him and you know, the coaches and scouts see something in Cooper Beebe that a lot of teams didn't see.
Nick Eatman, D&M Leasing Hotline from DallasCowboys.com. And the 10 storylines for the game are up on the website. And one of them is Myles Garrett help. How do you expect them to approach this? Do you wait for Guyton to possibly get overmatched twice? Do you wait four plays? Because this is something we're going to be talking about on Monday. If it happens, like, why didn't you give help earlier? How do you expect this to go?
I think you have to, like with anything you're doing, you have to show them that it's going to be a little bit of everything and sometimes nothing and sometimes you know, all of it. I mean, that's just, you have to keep mixing up the bag. And again, I'm not as familiar with how he moves around. He might do that. And I mean, it's not like, you know, Terrence Steele, you know, because he's played 5 years, is going to be, you know, walk in the park if he has to go up against him. I mean, like, he'll go anywhere and everywhere, and it'll be a tough matchup. So I think the Cowboys have to be smart about, you know, helping anybody that he goes up against. They could go right over the center. And that's going to be a challenge for Beebe. So I think that's, he's one of those players that Dak has to recognize every time he lines up and it's a tight end at times. It's a running back. It's both. But Mike McCarthy said this after the press conference, I believe Monday. He said, he said Tyler won't get help every play. It's impossible. He's going to have to man up and do it and step up to the challenge. I mean, it is what it is. And so there's going to be times where it's just him one-on-one. What I like about that is that even though, you know, he's a bull rusher, he's a speed rusher, he's a combination of everything, I do like the fact that just like in a boxing match, if you've got length, if you've got a reach, that combined with feet, he should be in decent shape. He's going to see some things he's never seen before, but I think he's going to be up for the challenge. I really do.
Given the potential need of chipping Myles Garrett, should we expect that Zeke's snaps might actually be higher this week than what we'll see on average throughout the year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you running back is the, you know, who does the best across the board, who runs the ball the best, who blocks the best, who catches it. And I think that when you're looking at all the players in the running back room and checking the boxes, I think Zeke still does that more than others. And I, for what you're alluding to, obviously is pass pro. I think that's a smart thing to do. And I think, you know, Zeke's got something to prove as well. I think he might be a guy that surprises some people, but yeah, I think he's out there the most. You know, short yardage running is another thing. I think he's the guy that's proven that. I still think Rico Dowdle is going to be interesting. I think he's going to have some really big plays, explosive plays. But yeah, I think I would see Zeke out there to start and probably out there more than the others.
Can he hit 4 yards a carry? Is he still capable of that?
What did he finish last year? Was he under that?
3.5.
And 3.8.
Yeah, when you say surprise how?
Well, I think he'll play them the most. I think he'll be their option to play. And I don't know if that's surprising. I don't know who that would be surprising. It would surprise me. How about that? I mean, it would just be, you know, if he's the guy that's out there the most. I keep thinking that there was going to be someone else brought in here. And there was with Dalvin Cook. I don't know how that stands. But, you know, yardage to me, probably not. I think 4 yards a carry would be tough because he's going to split carries and he's going to get the bulk of these third and ones, third and goals, short yardage situations. Those, you know, it's third and one and you pick up 1 yard, you did your job and you killed your average at the same time. We know that. Now, to offset that, you got to bust a 30, 40-yard run, and they haven't done that. And I've noted on here before, I think I've told you of this, nobody on this team, well, that changed now with Cook, but he's not technically on the team, but no running back on this team has a 30-yard run in the last 4 years.
Oh.
Like, nobody's done that. When Royce Freeman was here, like, he had never done that. So that was all of training camp. Rico doesn't have a 30-yard run. I believe it's been 2021 or so maybe for Zeke. So nobody has ripped off a 30-yard run before. Now, Dalvin Cook obviously has. I'm assuming, maybe not in the last 3 years. His numbers are similar, but I would imagine he probably has. But explosive runs, that's what I wonder, you know, who's going to be able to take that? Can Rico do that? Can Deuce do that? I don't know.
Are you a barbecue guy or griller?
Oh, yes. Not well, griller. I mean barbecue, like I'll you know, consume it, but I mean the grilling, we'll see.
Okay. Well,
what's going on? What's happening?
Last Friday.
Are you inviting me? Okay.
I'm not inviting. I just requested you on Instagram. Yeah. So I invited you on that. Last Friday you you dropped a little Dak prediction that got us very excited. And 1 hour ago, the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys, Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, who was over at Dak's house a while back cooking crawfish, dropped this at the end of our interview.
Hey, little parting shot. The Dak deal is closer than it is further away.
Then hung up on us. So you're aligned with a barbecue guy as Cowboys insider. I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, I mean, now my prediction is, let's see, when would I hate it? I'll tell you when I would hate for this to go down. This was like 12:15 on Saturday. I'm working on getting my bag packed. We're going to the charter. I'll be keeping one eye and a half on Arkansas, Oklahoma State, and mad that I'm not there. All of that stuff happening, and then boom, about to get in the car. Something like that will break. So that's my prediction. It's always when I absolutely don't want it to happen. It's never like, you know, when I hang up here at 9:35 on a Wednesday. It won't be that. Yes. It'll be some other time. But I still believe that. I believe that. I've heard that as well. I think they want to get this done. And you know, I just believe that this will happen. This is the kind of shot in the arm I think would be good. The CD one helped. You know, and this team has been struggling for good news and, you know, for a while. And I think that helped uplift things in that practice there at the Star. I think this would be huge, you know, going into the season. Here's your leader. He's been your leader for the last almost decade. He's the guy. And let's go get this done. And I just feel like it's going to happen.
Nick, really quickly, we got the debut of Cowboys Crosstalk for this season tonight, 7 p.m. right here on The Fan and on DallasCowboys.com. Who's the guest? Who am I chatting with?
You're chatting with probably one of the most underrated cornerbacks of all time for the Cowboys, and Everson Walls. And in my opinion, a guy that needs to be in the Ring of Honor for many reasons, not just for what he did on the field. But, you know, you talk about the ultimate, you know, the ultimate move, what he did with for a teammate, you know, in the late Ron Springs, and just what he was mm-hmm. to him as a friend. I mean, there's nothing that screams Ring of Honor more than Everson Walls. I love talking with him. He'll be a lot of fun, especially him and Nate. You guys should have a lot of fun.
Well said. Thank you, brother. We'll talk on Friday.
See you guys. Okay.
Nick Eatman, maybe my new Instagram friend here on 105.3 The Fan. Who did KMC declare the winner between Gavin Dawson and Jared Sander? Crosstalk is next.
He swings and hits a deep drive to left. Verdugo back at the wall. That ball is history. Josh Young with the Rangers' first hit breaks the scoreless tie. It's 1-0 Rangers in the bottom of the fourth.
And, of course, that was the only run until the kids stepped up. Wyatt Langford, walk-off grand slam. Mike Bacsik was in the house. I know that because my boy Andrew took a photo with you.
Well,
thank you for doing that.
And you can see me in the background of the home run with like arms out as
with
it's
arms
coming
wide
way.
Open.
It's like Charles Barkley during the NCAA tournament. Crosstalk with the KMC masterpiece with another broken microphone for Corey Majors. What keeps happening to that microphone?
How you doing over there, Corey?
I don't know.
You good?
So, Kevin, what's coming up?
Man, I'm really trying to figure out what's happening with that microphone. All right, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or not, part two. We're going to go through more questions that will determine the fate of the NFL season. And at 12:20, we have Bruce Bochy.
Well, whose side do you fall on in the Gavin Dawson, Jared Sandler, Jack Leiter debate that happened yesterday on G-Bag?
Well, I'm sure I have no idea what you're speaking of.
You don't know?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, did you hear it live?
No, I did not. But I, of course, went back and listened after I was informed of it.
They were all talking about it on the Fan Reddit yesterday, too.
Really?
I've stayed away from that ever since. Corey goes, you do not want to read what's on there.
Don't worry. They say the most mean stuff about me, so it's okay.
What did you think, Mike? Be the Ranger referee here.
Well, I talked yesterday, actually, about how I really like the way that Jack Leiter threw the ball. I watched his sequencing. I watched how he threw the ball. I watched how he backed guys off the plate.
First two innings were really efficient.
You know, I watched his effectiveness at times with the curve ball. Sure, he can get better. He's 24 years old. In fact, today during Mike Likes It, I'm going to go over the 2021 draft. Because if Gavin Dawson feels like it's the flop failure
at 24, 24 seems really early. You're not even in your prime he's still got 2 years for his prime at least.
Right. And so we can go over that draft, which we will at 12:45, to be like, all right, well, let's look at this draft right now. You know, I'll just give you a preview. Number one overall pick, Henry Davis. You heard of that dude yet?
No.
Love him.
Well, I mean, he
stinks.
He was horrible with Pittsburgh. It doesn't mean he's going to be horrible, but he was the number one overall pick out of college. And so you have to kind of, I feel like if you're going to do this, you have to start comparing, okay, where are we at here? But
all right, for those, let's kind of relive it all together.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the debates back and forth. Bobby, you pulled the audio, so go ahead.
All right, we'll start with cut five here, Peyton. So Gavin Dawson had started the show by saying Jack Leiter just wasn't very good yesterday. And he said, I know Jared Sandler. I appreciate Jared Sandler coming to his defense and trying to talk about how impressive he's been this year, but he just wasn't very good. So whenever you, we said it earlier, he's like Beetlejuice. Whenever you say Jared Sandler's name, he appears.
And oh, so that's...
he appeared in Gavin Dawson's text messages during the break, and Dawson did not appreciate that.
All right, I stand corrected there from Jared Sandler at the break. Apparently, Jack Leiter was great yesterday, giving up 5 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings. So that's my bad. Jack Leiter's going to join us coming up at 3:20 here for the Rangers Player Show.
He's your guy.
So this,
first of all, I like the tone. I'm very much of a big fan of, let's take the facts and say them sarcastically to undercut. I'm a big fan
really
of that.
So Jared heard this, and texting was no longer enough. So Jared decided, I think I'm just going to call Lynn in the middle of their football segment.
Oh, we got Jared.
I think
He got a little
Jared.
Smoke. Oh, he wants to get spicy.
Dawson, yeah.
Oh, this is perfect. True, Jared's here. I think Buffalo might be the 6th or 7th wild card team as Jared Sandler joins us now to protect his guy, Jack Leiter, who I have been corrected, was good yesterday, giving up 1 run per inning pitch. Jared, good afternoon. How you doing?
I was listening because I love you guys. And Dawson, I heard you the other day when you were very passive aggressive with Broadus. I know how you can be. I
need to replay that,
Sean
too.
Bear. That's cool. I was just trying to help you via text. Not sound like a total...
Okay, so you say you're trying to help me via text, Jared. This is not how you address somebody via text in the middle of a segment. Be honest. Did you watch the game? Suggesting that I was dishonest, that's where you got sideways with me, Jared, just so you know.
But did you watch the game?
No, I didn't. I saw his numbers.
I understand that.
Okay.
But I was just trying to help you out, because if you watch the game, then it would be a different approach.
So, real quick... Dawson said he was suggesting that he was being dishonest when he asked him if he watched the game. No, he was suggesting that you didn't watch the game. Not that you were being dishonest.
I think he said, when he says be honest, I think Dawson's taking that as like, why do you feel the need to give me that caveat? Why not just ask me, did you watch the game? Why do you have to say be honest?
He would have just said, did you watch the game?
That's what Dawson seemed to be upset about.
Let's be honest.
Oh, dear.
The first admission of not watching it, that's an L for Dawson in the fight, in the debate. Right?
Sure.
Because there are many sporting events, and this is a classic like Bassick versus RJ analytics, you know, watch the game argument, that it doesn't always translate. You know what I mean? Jack clearly felt better about the performance. He was calmer. And everyone's overall review who watched it was, this is best start up here in the bigs. When you admit you don't watch it and go at him, you leave yourself exposed if that reality comes out.
Yeah, and analytics doesn't promote not watching it, because you have to get the nuance.
I saw Moneyball. It does.
Right? You have to get the nuance of
the
what
machine
goes on.
Yeah, just forcing old poor Grady out. Now, they go back and forth for a little bit on expectations for Leiter. Dawson just says, like, hey, this is the number 2 overall pick. He's been a disappointment as the number 2 overall pick, which...
That is not inaccurate.
No,
that is very correct.
So that's where I want to defend Dawson. Mike, I want to bring you in on this. I don't know whether Dawson's overall point was to bury like Jack moving forward, or just say it's been a disappointment. Because I did disagree with Jared over what Leiter has been so far. Do you agree that Jack Leiter has been disappointing so far?
In a black and white, I have to answer yes or I have to answer no. Then I'll answer yes if it's just that black and white. But it is tough. That's why
it's early.
At 12:45, I'm just going to give you another preview. There's only one player who's done anything in baseball that's been a top 10 pick. And I'll go top 11, because the 10th pick in that draft was Kamar Rocker, who's absolutely done nothing, right?
From that draft.
Right. Because he was the 10th overall
pick.
It's
so early.
But that's the follow-up question. It's like, should that change the way we evaluate Leiter, or, you know, look at it through a different lens of it? And did we overhype? Was it a result of the last name? I'm sure that had something to do with it. The number 2 pick, but we were, and maybe
great.
It's the media's fault.
He was great at Vanderbilt.
In college. Okay. Yeah.
But
Jared was trying to argue he was never projected as like a superstar or like an ace possibility.
I will say I agree that did happen, because after the draft, I have high expectations for Jack Leiter. And I'm going to tell you, I see a guy who can maybe not be a number 1, But I see a guy who can be a top of the rotation guy. I see it. I see. Can you put together those pitches for 100 straight pitches? That takes some time, I think. Now, it doesn't for Paul Skeens. It doesn't for Ben McDonald. I know I'm going way back.
Orioles!
But like, there are certain guys that come into the league. Kerry Wood, you know what? At 20 years old, the dude struck out 20 guys. Unfortunately, he got hurt, and it changed his career trajectory tremendously. So it's...
I don't disagree with Dawson, though, on what he feels like is. I'm not burying him. Obviously, it's early.
Way too early. Yeah, because like, go back to 1999. And not even the second overall pick. The first overall pick. Less than half of the first overall picks have even made an all-star team. Like, it is a crap. Like, outside of a four-year stretch, which is probably the best four-year number one stretch ever, which was Strasburg, Harper, Cole, and Correa. Like, other than that, those are four straight years.
His last three are really
I guess what
good.
I'm trying to say, though, is like, and you did point out earlier in the show, we should look at baseball differently from the NFL. If the Cowboys have the number three pick and all the rest of the top 10 picks fail, I'm not giving the Cowboys a pass for making their wrong pick just because everyone else isn't doing anything. Do you know what I mean? Or does it speak to the difficulty of the baseball draft pick?
And there are good classes and bad classes. Like, there's like every, like, they project 5, 6, 7 years out. Oh man, that class is going to be really, really good. Or that class has got nothing. There's good and bad classes.
Here's the biggest thing that I would say just to the idea of like him being a disappointment to this point. I will say that, yeah, there's a lot of top five picks who haven't had success yet or whatever else. It's not common, is it, though, that like 2 years after being picked, they put you on the developmental list and they basically say you need to go away and work on things. Like, that's not common, right?
It is no, if the like, Rangers like draft Brock him. Porter type situation.
Or like Jack Leiter was put on the developmental list last year and away from the team.
And they redid a lot of things with him and it's starting to work. But he is definitely not an instant success story. Like, so the question, like, it becomes nuanced. I think this is the tough part where I fall on Sandler's side. Sunday afternoon, I'm going to give you over under. Dak Prescott throws for over 400 yards.
Over.
And he throws for over two touchdowns.
Over.
Uh-huh. Wouldn't that be a great game?
Yes.
Wouldn't the Cowboys win that game easily?
Think so.
I just gave you the exact numbers. Not the last time they played the Browns. I just gave you the exact numbers of his playoff game against the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
So if you didn't watch the Packer playoff game, and I just told you, Dak Prescott threw for 403 yards and three touchdowns and ran for 45. So he had a day where he had almost 450 yards of throwing and running. You would say, my gosh, the Cowboys are never going to lose. And that game was a blowout and wasn't close. So if you don't watch the game, it's very tough to have a strong opinion. You can say, here are the stats. I didn't watch.
Yeah.
They don't look good to me, but I can't give you good or bad because there are nuances to just the stats.
One more. Here is the kiss-off from Sandler and Dawson yesterday.
He's 24 years old. He was a draft-eligible sophomore. He lost 1 year because of COVID. I mean, Jesus, this guy, he's 24. He's not 34. If he becomes a regular in your rotation to where you can slot him into the three spot, is he a Hall of Fame-bound pitcher? No, but that's not a failure. I think we're closing. It's like we're writing his final chapter way too soon here.
I mean, is he even one of the top Rangers prospects anymore as the number two overall pick? I guess that's my bad for having expectations too high on a guy.
No, Gavin, you're spinning this because you don't know how else to combat me other than by playing the, oh, I guess it's my bad. You're not listening to anything I'm saying, though.
Okay, that's like, the second insult you've given me in the last 30 minutes. Screw you, Jared. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Wow. See you in surprise, sir. I'll see you in surprise. We're back tomorrow morning. Corey made the best points of all in that segment. Did you guys do a little Aggie matching t-shirt text before the show?
Man, I wish.
KMC Masterpiece next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.